Coming up on Patriots This Week, it was a primetime premiere.
Everybody watching tonight!
And in this episode of The House of Cards, Jimmy Garoppolo made it must-see TV, capping off the win with a starring role.
You know, they gave us all we could handle tonight, so it was a good test for us.
It was a test most critics thought they would fail, until Jimmy G came through with an edge.
I don't think we're shocked by the way we performed.
It was a good first game, though, a good first experience.
Now Miami makes its way to Foxborough, a familiar opponent with a new leader.
I hope we can be more competitive against them than we were last time we played them.
It's the home opener. Now Patriots fans get to see if Garoppolo will star in a sequel.
Let's go get some points.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
First game of the new season, first career start for Jimmy Garoppolo, and much to the surprise of many, especially in Vegas, first win of the new campaign for the New England Patriots over the Arizona Cardinals. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with the three-time Super Bowl champion, Matt Chatham, and my radio partner at 98.5 The Sports Hub, longtime Patriots quarterback, Scott Zolak. Guys, initial impressions after the first win under Jimmy Garoppolo and the Patriots against a team many believe is bound for Super Bowl 51.
I'd say first and foremost, hopefully Patriots fans out there got in on that 9.5 and got a nice little boat bump for a little jump on the kids' tuition, something like that. But I think that is really sort of the thing that jumped out to me, that this impression of them as an underdog was really existed out here, I think, with us and with other media people. Inside that room, you heard a lot of sound from guys that said, "We're not underdogs. We don't see that way here. We expected to win. We played how we expected to play." So I think it's just one of those helpful reminders that sometimes we build things up and our own concerns are not the concerns inside that locker room.
When teams don't say anything, you could always go to the points. That's what we'd do for 25 years in the National Football League. And that deems you an underdog, and it's sort of a disrespect card that you play. But getting back to Garoppolo here, I was impressed with everything. You want to say he played great, but he did have the one fumble, but he really played great, Bob. He really did. And I'm talking about everything. TV timeouts, handling the operation, the personnel groups in and out of the huddle, resetting guys, offsetting guys, managing the clock. There was one delay a game, but he got the bad throw out of the way early to Hogan on the deep drag route. And then he got the touchdown to Hogan, and that really got him. 7 points quickly in that first drive. I thought he was in control the whole game, and he did not look like a guy making his first start.
What did you notice about the way Garoppolo distributed the ball, especially to Julian Edelman and Chris Hogan, but also the involvement of other guys, James White, LeGarrette Blount, and so on?
Right. Well, the three of us were all in those meetings for our preseason pre-broadcast stuff with Coach Belichick, and he really hammered home the point that there's not a separate playbook. You know, Jimmy's here. It's his third year. There's not going to be the Jimmy plays versus the Tom plays. That really jumped off sort of the screen to me. The next thing was just the way that he adjusted to in-game stuff. Zoe hits on some of the successes and some of the other issues they still had, but I like that he could reset pockets like we've seen Tom Brady do so well when it wasn't necessarily pressure, but there was a better place from where in the pocket he could make the throw he wanted. The Amendola one late in the game, on the third and long, wherever it was, where Jimmy has to reset himself. Amendola's set to run a dig at sticks level at like third and 15, the sort of not going to have it kind of play. And Danny, who hasn't had a camp, resets, scramble rules, runs to sort of the vacancy, and they connect. So that connection didn't exist in camp, yet it was there at the biggest moment. The reliance upon the running game, something that you guys obviously do in that AFC Championship game a year ago, I think that was night and day. So to be able to come up with these other elements that may not have been practiced necessarily, at least not in live time where we could see them, but they showed up in the game and they were a big factor.
So all the perimeter people, Garoppolo, the backs that he's talking about that play well, they don't play well if the people in front of him don't play well. I think right. The offensive line, it's probably the most not-talked story about after this game because it's not sexy, right? We like to talk about Garoppolo, Edelman, 7 for 7, 7 targets, 7 catches. But I just think that, you know, from the game plan perspective that Josh McDaniels had going in, it was personnel grouping after personnel grouping. They took the offensive to the defense, and that's a good defense that they played the other night. To have those guys continually backing off, not coming out and getting bump and run. Every time the Patriots would move the ball, I was sitting there watching the game with you, and I'm saying, why aren't they doing bump and run? Why are they 8 yards off the ball? Why are they letting Julian Edelman run free down the seam? And I thought a guy like Martellus Bennett had a phenomenal game in the blocking. The blocking aspect of it off the edge. And that's something to look forward to coming around here when Gronkowski comes back, because now you have two really good tight ends that are good in the run game.
LeGarrette Blount bows the pile into the end zone for a touchdown. Then he has the big 3rd and 10 run for a first down late in the game. James White, a tough inside run, good cut in traffic for a first down. big catch to jumpstart a drive, 21 yards on the screen. Those two guys, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think LeGarrette Blount's game is becoming should be crystal clarity for Patriots fans. You know what he does well, and he does it really well, and there are other things that he doesn't, and you see them fashioning game plans more around what fits him, right? I thought really one of the most important plays of the game was the 3rd-and-11 play late in the fourth quarter. It's 3rd and probably not going to get it. I think they're really just running to maybe increase their field position, and they convert a 3rd-and-11 on the ground. The guys that were all-stars on that play, Tooney pulling out and getting a guy in space. Marcus Cannon getting a lot of movement on the double team, climbing and getting another guy. He made 2 blocks on the play, and Julian Edelman from the second level stock blocking. So you got a nice little 3-man wall, makes Blount miss just one guy in the open field, and you convert on 3rd-and-11 on the ground. That is not something that happens a year ago.
Blount gives you 70 yards on those type of carries every game. That's everything you need out.
All you need.
And then you disperse James White over here. You bring in, eventually you're going to see DJ Foster too from the quick aspect of it. So they got guys sort of that are change-up guys that you can wheel and deal out there. I was really impressed with LeGarrette Blount. Just worry about holding onto that football.
Loud crowd, very loud inside of University of Phoenix Stadium. We remember what happened the last time the Patriots played on the road before a raucous crowd in Denver last year, AFC Championship. Difference, certainly in a big way, on Sunday night. What kind of a difference did David Andrews at center make? What kind of a difference does Dante Scarnecchia make for this team?
Well, I looked at the right guard a lot. You look at a guy like Joe Tooney in this game, really looking back to see if Garoppolo said. Then he makes the calls. Then he taps the center. And here's the thing. When you tap the center, don't look down then snap the ball. It's key for everybody to get off on the ball. He taps David Andrews. He looks down but looks up.
Pause.
Gets a little delay. And then the snap comes. That's what they didn't do in Denver. And I think that's coaching. That's Dante Scarnecchia.
The defense was terrific for most of the night. Of course, the first 2 scores with short fields after takeaways by the Cardinals. But what the Patriots did defensively, what impressed you about the game plan and the execution of it?
I think they're going to be special. I mean, we'll hammer that home. At least I will throughout the course of this season. I really think this can be a top-5 defense in the NFL. The areas where they weren't good enough that I'm sure that they're getting pushed on in meetings this week is the situational things, right? That there was the 2 turnovers and they gave up touchdowns on the 2 turnovers. Hammer home
sits.
Yeah, exactly. Got short field, she got a 4 field goals, didn't. And then the second thing is tackling. And again, I don't think that's necessarily a knock that's Patriot specific. The Cardinals struggle with it as well. I think around the league people struggle with it. You have these no contact camps, basically. You play in a few preseason games and it's bound to be ugly.
These guys haven't played a lot of snaps going into the season opener. Now they're out there for 95%, 100% of the snaps.
The ability to rotate, and I think they kept them fresh up front. That was huge in this football game, and I think you have to if you're going to get after a quarterback like that. But from a coverage standpoint, little high cover 1 safety. Next thing you know, they hit that 1 to Brown down the sideline. They went all cover 2 after that and forced Carson Palmer to take everything underneath the checkdowns. They don't like to do that. They like to try and rip, try and shoot one down the seam, get a big play. So you frustrated them in essence right there. And I think guys like Long are starting to come on. We're just seeing good plays from all the young guys, all those rotational players. And Jamie Collins and Hightower right now, they could play with anybody.
But the job the Patriots did on John Brown and J.J. Nelson, and save for that first completion, Michael Floyd, instrumental in winning that game.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. And they did a good job. And I thought Logan Ryan taking care of Larry Fitzgerald was huge. So this is a sign of things maybe to come. It's not going to be Butler. Remember, we had Revis here. Revis never took the number 1 guy. He'd take the 2 guy, then he'd roll coverage and get help the other way. And that's the way I think they're going to structure it.
We'll talk kickoffs. In fact, the NFL wanted fewer returns. Instead, week 1 of the 2016 campaign, they got more. Back with more after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
The Putnam Player Spotlight is on Chris Long. The 31-year-old made an impressive Patriot debut against the Arizona Cardinals. He was the 2nd overall pick in the 2008 draft, and the 6'3", 270-pound defensive end had a sack against Carson Palmer. And his constant pressure drew a critical holding call on Arizona's last drive, pushing back the Cards' final field goal attempt that sailed wide left. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
A
Upon return to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, Patriots This Week continues with a look at the NFL kickoff rule. Of course, on kickoffs, putting the touchback at the 25-yard line. Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, the intention, it seemed, reduced the number of returns out of player safety concerns. Instead, as we saw in the Patriots-Cardinals game, more kickoffs were returned, and for the Pats, the execution from Steven Gostkowski and that kick cover unit was outstanding.
So two things here. They want to reduce them because of stats they won't share with you, which were probably lies. And second I love Gostkowski's ability to really be one of those few kickers in the league that can kick it with amplitude and put it in the stands if need be, or he can hang it up, put it outside the numbers in that, like, inside the five-yard line where you have to bring it out. As a returner, maybe you're straddling the line. But one of the, again, biggest plays of that game ends up being Jonathan Jones' sort of half-tackle there late in the fourth quarter where Gostkowski hangs up one of those balls. Jones just blows through at the four, dips and rips, gets a flag. And on the backside, something the broadcast wasn't able to show, was Nate Ebner running a cross game on the backside. They run a little twist. It puts a man-to-man out in space with a big guy. Ebner makes the play. Jones cleans it up, flag on the ground. And those yards, those extra yards that backed them up, imagine those not on the end of that field goal at the end of the game. Huge play in the game.
I love somebody who has aptitude for the kicking game. So
I don't know what the hell he said.
What are you gonna do?
In all seriousness, to pull that off in a game, you just don't say, "Hey, we're gonna put this on a game plan and run this on Sunday."
Right.
You've got to rep that. You got to practice it. You got to meet about it. You got to put the right personnel out there. This coach goes to show you how much special teams mean. How much the special teams game actually means to him. The judging these guys, they sit there for hours upon hours a day and try and figure out other angles. Why give them the ball to 25? We could pin their tail back on 12. And that kind of transpired the other night, and Arizona had to drive it 90 yards.
What about the performance of some of the young quarterbacks, especially beginning with Trevor Siemian, showed poise in a close game, leading the Broncos to the win over the Panthers, and then Carson Wentz making his debut for the Eagles after limited reps in college and especially in the preseason.
See, everybody thought Siemian, you know, since he came out of the gate right there, boy, that's just poise all around, until you saw Garoppolo play. I like Carson Wentz. I think he's a big guy, so I think he's going to have some success. I like Dak Prescott, down in Dallas. I thought from day one of the season, he's looked great, and he's kind of taken over that team.
Really a compelling week quarterback-wise around the league, really, with these young dudes, because Wentz goes out. He's playing against a Browns team that's giving weird answers in the lead-up to it about why they didn't draft him. Have you ever heard that, where a front office is given the rationale for not why they didn't take the guy they're facing? His real success came in the scripted portion of the game. They script out those first 10. He comes out smoking. That's when they put up a lot of their good work. Pretty average, actually, there from beyond that point.
And among the nail biters across the country, Seattle's come-from-behind win over the Miami Dolphins, the Patriots' next opponent. Back with a look at them right after this.
Hey, time now for the Zoe Show, week two. In week one, David Johnson told him to watch out for you, right? What happened? He almost had a touchdown. Same thing I showed you. Well, here, defensive player, Ndamukong Suh. You can't miss him. 93, he's big in the middle. More importantly, he really likes to hurt quarterbacks, and that's a bad, bad thing. You take a look at him here. What's he got? Two guys getting set the block down on him. Should be taken care of. They even offset the back this way. Oh, here, we'll just push him in and let him almost close hang and take the head off of the ball carrier. That's how angry this guy plays. And you got to be quick up front. Quick as far as the quick sets, the quick punches, because watch the ability to just take the pile, push it. Oh, where's the quarterback? Boom, there he is right there. Ndamukong Suh, if you don't block him, will put Jimmy Garoppolo out of this football game. Find out where 93 is. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We're back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, and this Sunday, the New England Patriots face the Miami Dolphins. It's a coaching matchup of one of the oldest and most successful, of course, in the NFL, Bill Belichick, versus the youngest, Adam Gase, in his second game at the helm of the Miami Dolphins, guys. The first contest for his Dolphins, nearly a win at Seattle, but the Seahawks score late and win it 12-10.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that football game, and they really played well. They did, and that's led by their defensive unit. Really controlled the line of scrimmage. Really got Russell Wilson where they wanted to, in the pocket. They didn't let him break containment. They beat him up pretty good, and they didn't let the big play down the field until the end of the game, right at the end when he threw a touchdown pass with, I think, 31 seconds left. That's a 12-10 game. So for them to get on the road and get out there like that, I just worry about them producing points. I do. I just don't think Miami's that good offensively. I know it's a good defense that they faced, but you got to have a little bit of sense of urgency. The way the end of that game ended, clock's running out, and they're trying to flip formation, just doesn't seem like they have it all together offensively.
Imagine the hand that these guys have drawn around the NFL. Travel to play at Seattle on week one.
That
travel
stinks.
To play in New England in week two. Best of luck, Adam Gase. No, but I kind of, to echo what Zoe's saying, I think this is really going to be a defensive-led team, even though he's the quarterback whisperer, even though Gase is purportedly going to help Tannehill sort of take it to another level. But they really seem to have a trouble putting it together. One year we're talking about the quality of their targets.
Yep.
Now the target quality's up. You got guys like Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker, if he's ever healthy.
Where's the back?
Aaron Foster, I guess, is the guy. Jay Ajayi was inactive for the game. Lamar Miller's down in Houston making
big
plays.
That's the guy that they're going to miss the most this year, Lamar Miller.
I agree. But the big issue is they have actually invested quite a bit. James, some of those other guys on the offensive line, and Tannehill's still getting hit a lot. So there wasn't a ton of run game. He got hit a lot, some on his own for not getting rid of it, some just too quick of protections given up. So that part of the game just continues to be a question mark.
Now, they were without Devontae Parker, who had a good game against the Patriots last year as a rookie in Miami. He's questionable for this matchup with his hamstring situation. But with Jarvis Landry, they threw it to him a lot, but again, not downfield. The one time they took a deep ball shot, they should have scored with Kenny Stills dropping what would have been a 71-yard pass. But still, there's that inconsistency when Tannehill's got to go deep.
There is, and he's got to get rid of that football. I love those two perimeter guys in Landry and Stills, because you can line them up on the same side and, in essence, do that double move post where one guy takes away the in and then you got to put a shot play over the top. They did that once last week and they dropped the touchdown pass.
Stills had the dropsies.
Had the drops, and Tannehill put the ball there. So that, don't think that they won't come back to that and try and hit another home run there.
We're talking about the defensive line. Three Pro Bowlers. Mm-hmm. Sue, Mario Williams, Cameron Wake coming off the torn Achilles last year in New England. What were your impressions of their performance against Seattle, especially stopping that Seahawks running game?
Big, angry men that you don't want to face. And that's like if you're the Patriots offensive line this week, you're having nightmares. You really are. Because you're watching them and you're thinking, they just don't quit. Ndamukong Suh never quits. See, some of the guys in the league, like a Haynesworth, will get the tag that, oh, we're a dog or a quitter. This guy's a machine. Once he flips that switch, it plays the whole time.
Some of the issues to consider during the break. Matt and Scott will mull it all over, and they'll come back with their prediction for Sunday's matchup of the Pats and the Dolphins on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
The Denver Broncos will need to run the ball this year, and C.J. Anderson is off to a terrific start. Make sure the Broncos' back, with his improved offensive line, is in your lineup. Anderson should have a big day at home against a weak Colts defense. But keep Cleveland's Isaiah Crowell on the bench. Although he played well in Week 1, he'll have trouble finding any room to run when the Ravens visit the Browns. This week's sleeper is San Diego wideout Travis Benjamin. The former Brown will be Phillip Rivers' top target now that Keenan Allen is out for the year. Start him against the visiting Jaguars. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
In the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, time now for our predictions. Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, who's going to win Sunday's game against the Patriots and Dolphins? Who ultimately will be the difference maker?
Got all these good feelings now around here. New England, rightfully so, well-earned in the desert. I'm going to go Patriots 24-14. I don't think, even though you feel good about what happened a week ago, they're going to start putting up 30 points a game. That looks like the formula. Pretty modest, good defensive effort with Jamie Collins as your top player. You don't go through a game without that guy getting a ball off someone. I think he'll do it this week.
He talks so much, I forgot what the score was. I'm going to keep it real simple. 27-16 Patriots. Player of the game, James White. I like him in matchups on the outside. Side on third down. You dink and dunk with Blunt in the middle. James White, little screen pass.
So in week two, it's the first home start for Jimmy Garoppolo and the Patriots against the Miami Dolphins this Sunday at 1 o'clock before they entertain the Houston Texans on a short week. For Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week on Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.
Yeah!